Welcome, dear listeners, to this week's episode of Afternoon Satsang. As always, joining you live from our studios in Prashanthi Nilam is Prem from Team Radio Sai, and with me is Brother Arvind. It's a very festive week here. Today is the Gujarati New Year, so all our listeners who celebrate today as their New Year, a very, very happy New Year to you, and belated greetings on the beautiful location of Deepavali, which was celebrated yesterday. And the month of November always is a month filled with festivities because it's the month of Swami's birthday, and starting this weekend the celebrations would begin in right earnest with the Akhanda Bhajan. So it's wonderful to join all of you, and it's a wonderful time to be here at Prashanthi Nilam. So any of you planning to come down and has not visited Prashanthi Nilam, it's definitely a wonderful time to be here. And it's, as always, it's, there's no season where it's not nice to be at Prashanthi Nilam, but we get happier on such occasions. So it's two happy people joining you from our studios at Radio Sai. Before we introduce the topic that we're going to have today, which is going to be very, very interesting, it's going to be a very light and fun topic, but nevertheless, with Swami, there is always learning, so that's not to be lost at all. But to introduce the topic and join all of us, let's invite Arvind. Saram Arvind.
Saram Preman, you rightly put it by saying two happy people joining you. I am all the more happy today compared to other satsangs because I can promise all our listeners that you are definitely going to smile, if not laugh. Because what happened was, when both of us were discussing, Prem and myself, about what we should do for the theme afternoon satsang the next couple of weeks, this fortnight, it was a spark of inspiration, definitely a spark that Swami had put, that we began to look at some of the chinnakathas, the small stories that Swami narrates in between his discourses, and we have picked up the choicest of them, which definitely will make all of us smile and laugh. The humorous chinnakathas that Swami would narrate. Of course, it is not possible to cover all the stories, all the humorous stories that Swami would narrate, but we have tried to collate a few of them. They are sure to tickle our sides and sometimes have us in splits also, because while narrating them, Swami was in splits while narrating a few of them. But as always, as it happens with any action, any word, any thought from Bhagwan, they are laced with a lot of meanings. They're full of so much of significance and lessons and insights for us to derive. So to make it even more thrilling, today's satsang will not just be Prem and myself. We will be having Swami also joining in with his voice, because every chinnakatha we'll have narrated by Bhagwan, so that we can also get into that mood, laugh aloud, enjoy the way Swami is enjoying narrating that story. And after that, we will have a brief discussion, a few thoughts that we will share. I'm looking forward to this. I'm sure Prem is, and we hope that this will be an enlightening and a light session for all of you.
You know, many, many times, I think even in the course of our discussions here or in the course of our talks, we would invariably resort to some of these stories that Swami would narrate. And it's not planned, but every time I narrate it, I would always end up saying that you should listen to this in Swami's own narration. Mm-hmm. Because that is so very special and it can never be recreated. You know, it's not just the intrinsic humor of the story. It's not merely that it's a funny story or something like that, but the way Swami would narrate it, and you know, when Swami would narrate some of these stories, you know that, you know, here is that person who as a little boy did the, you know, Chepinattu Chestara drama or the many other plays that he's been directing from an age of about 8, if not earlier. And it's been, you can see that Swami would act out or speak out each of those dialogues in a different style pertaining to that particular person. Of course, the emotions will be there. And, you know, some of the clips which are going to play, we'll see that when Swami starts crackling and laughing in between a story, I mean, that's probably, nobody can resist themselves from laughing. And so many times we would see that Swami would find himself in splits and he will not be able to narrate it. You know, sometimes when you look at it, you know, this is Swami who's looking at all our lives. Swami who's looking at how stupid we can all be, you know, especially when we speak something and do something else, which is the essence of the Chepinattu Chestara drama. Swami would really like to laugh at what we are doing. You know, That's what somebody would say. God always likes a good joke, and that's why he loves his entire creation. Mm-hmm. Because we really, you know, think that we know everything. We think that we've got ourselves covered. And sometimes when we are a completely different personality and try and tell something else in front of Swami, there are many occasions when, you know, Swami would know it. Swami will give a meaningful smile. Most of these stories are like that. Swami is actually bringing out the absurdity in our own life. And that's the beauty of a Chanakatha, because a profound message is passed on by emotions that we observe in everyday life, by a sequence of events that we would have come across ourselves. And then Swami is saying that, you know, did you notice that this is the same thing which is being told to you in a spiritual discourse? And that's what makes the Chanakatha so special.
So without further ado, dear listeners, we have tried to arrange some of these stories in an increasing order of Swami laughing, so that you sit on till the end to hear to those clips where Swami is unable to speak because he's almost in tears laughing. But we'll begin right away with this little story and then continue our discussion.
Oka Shiva Bhaktudu, Oka Pedda Guruvu Daggaraki Velli, Oka Mantropadeshanni Pondadu.
A great devotee of Shiva went to a guru and he got a mantra from that guru.
Emiti aa mantramu?
What is that mantra?
Shivoham, 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 Shivoham. Ee mantraanni nirantaramu uchcharistu vastunnadu.
He is uttering frequently the mantra Shivoham, Shivoham, Shivoham.
Edo oka samayam lopala maroka guruvu ee yokka shishyunni kontha varakunu kalichinadu.
On some other occasion, another guru met this disciple.
Nayana, neevu emaina mantropadesham cheskunnava, mantrocharana jarugutundava ani cheppi adigadu.
He asked him, have you learnt any mantra and are you repeating any mantra?
Ah, nenu mantropadesham cheskunnanu swami. ఆ మంత్రమే నిరంతరము నేను స్మరిస్తూ చింతిస్తూ ఉంటున్నాను. ఆ మంత్రమే నా ప్రాణము, ఆ మంత్రమే నా జీవితము అని చెప్పాడు ఈ భక్తుడు.
దిస్ డివోటీ టోల్డ్ ది గురు, yes, I have learnt a mantra. I repeat the mantra always. The mantra is my life and the mantra is everything to me. I repeat it constantly.
నాయన, మొట్టమొదట ఆ మంత్రం పైన నీకు నమ్మకం ఉన్నదా అన్నాడు ఈ గురువు.
ది గురు ఆస్క్డ్, డూ యూ హ్యావ్ కంప్లీట్ ఫెయిత్ ఆన్ ది మంత్ర విచ్ యు ఆర్ రిసైటింగ్?
ఆ మంత్రం పైననే నాకు నమ్మకం లేకపోతే నా జీవితం అంతా దానిని ఆధారంగా ఎందుకు చేసుకుంటానని జవాబు చెప్పాడు శిష్యుడు.
దిస్ డిసైపుల్ సెడ్, ఇఫ్ ఐ హ్యావ్ నో ఫెయిత్ ఆన్ ది మంత్ర, వై డూ ఐ మేక్ మై హోల్ లైఫ్ డిపెండ్ ఆన్ ది మంత్ర అండ్ మై హోల్ లైఫ్?
అయితే శివోహం శివోహం అంటే ఏమిటి దాని అర్థం అన్నాడు.
ది గురు ఆస్క్డ్, యూ సే శివోహం ఇస్ ది మంత్ర, వెన్ యూ సే శివోహం వాట్ ఈస్ ఇట్స్ మీనింగ్?
శివోహం శివోహం, నేనే శివుడు నేనే శివుడు, అహం హం హం, నేనే శివుడు నేనే శివుడు అని దీని అర్థం అన్నాడు.
హీ సెడ్ ది మీనింగ్ ఈజ్ ఐఎమ్ శివ, ఐఎమ్ శివ, దట్ ఈస్ ది మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ ది మంత్ర.
ఇది సత్యమేనా అని అడిగాడు గురువు.
ది గురు ఆస్క్డ్, ఈస్ దిస్ ట్రూ?
ముమ్మాటికి సత్యం అన్నాడు.
ది డిసైపుల్ సెడ్, yes, it is truth and it is truth at all times.
అయితే పార్వతీదేవి నీకేం కావాలి అన్నాడు.
ది గురు ఆస్క్డ్, ఇఫ్ యు ఆర్ శివ వాట్ షుడ్ పార్వతి బి టు యూ?
అపరాధం 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 అన్నాడు. నిజంగా తాను శివుడైతే పార్వతీదేవి తనకు భార్య కావాలి, నా శక్తి నేను చెప్పాలి, అంత దృఢత్వం తనకు లేదు. ఆ మాటపైన అంత విశ్వాసం లేదు. కేవలం శివోహం శివోహం అని ఉచ్చరిస్తున్నాడే కాని ఆ శివోహం యొక్క సంపూర్ణమైనటువంటి యొక్క అంతరార్థాన్ని తాను గ్రహించలేదు. నేనే శివుడు, నేనే శక్తి, నేనే సర్వము అనేటువంటి దృఢత్వం అతనితో లేదు. కనుక ఈ మంత్రాలు ఎన్ని సంవత్సరములు ఉచ్చరించినప్పటికీ ఇది కట్టగడప్పటికీ రంధ్రం పడినటువంటి పాత్రలో నీరు పోసినట్టుగా ఉంటుంటాడు.
He has no faith in the mantra which is uttering. He does not believe in the truth of it. Such mantras, however many he may repeat and whatever time he may repeat for, it is simply like pouring water in a pot which has a hole.
కనుక మనం కూడాను ఆ విధమైనటువంటి దీంతో మనం ఉచ్చరించకూడదు. ఏ విధమైనటువంటి విశ్వాసం ఉంటుందో ఆ విశ్వాసాన్ని మంచి ఘాటుగా ఒక దృఢమైనటువంటి దీంట్లో మన హృదయంలో దిగిపోవాలి.
Anything which we utter, we should utter it in such a way that whatever faith we have, that faith should become strong.
Chitiki maatiki adiri bediri ivvati yokka deentlo manamu ee yokka vishwasanni koncham tarumaru chesukokoodadu.
Moment after moment, for small things, we should not allow our faith to become less firm and shattered.
So that was the first one, and to put it in context, it was the discourse that Swami gave in 1978, 22nd of November. So that was a very beautiful story. I think that's a story I've heard Swami narrate even in the later years, even in the 90s, Swami would narrate this about how we do not, first of all, we do not have faith. And the other thing is we do not understand what we are doing. And Swami is saying when you say Shivoham, the very idea is everything is divine. That is the whole concept of Shivoham. But you are telling Shivoham, but you're still thinking Shiva is an entity and he has his family and he has his, consort, and that consort is supposed to be my mother in that relationship. So Swami it's a very beautiful story the way Swami narrates it, isn't it?
Exactly. It reminds me of a drama that I witnessed as a child, put up by the organization from Maharashtra and Mumbai in India.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this whole play was based on the use of the word Sai Ram. Now, in our Sai circles, we greet each other with Sai Ram. It is a beautiful way to remember Swami whenever we meet. It is also a way for us to remember this ultimate truth of Shivoham, that whoever is speaking is Swami, whoever is listening to is Swami. I think you keep mentioning that before you give any of your talk, referring to that photo that Swami had materialized for some of the students in the interview room, where you can see Swami speaking to himself. We have that plastered even in our Radio Sai live studio, just to remind us that the one who is speaking is Swami, the one who is listening is Swami, the one who is inspiring is Swami. So in that way, this word Sai Ram is supposed to be used that way. But the entire play was about the different ways in which Sai Ram is used. Sai Ram is used to convey anger, you know. You go there, you see somebody, Sai Ram, hey Sai Ram, Sai Ram. You know, it is used to shout, it is used for scolding. You use Sai Ram to plead, you use Sai Ram to everything. So much so that though the word being stated everywhere is Sai Ram, the feeling possibly, the spirit behind that is possibly forgotten. And that stands out very strongly and beautifully in the story, that what we say, first of all, we should remember the spirit behind that, and more importantly, have faith in whatever we are saying. It reminds me of another Chinna Katha which Swami would narrate, of how this milkmaid would get late delivering milk to the priest. And when the priest asks her, why are you late every day? I need milk for my abhishekam. I need to do the abhishekam in my altar. She says that I have to wait for the boatman to ferry me across, and the boat, when I come, if it has gone away, I have to wait till the boat comes and then climb the boat. He says, why do you have to wait for the boat? Just walk across the river. She says, how do I walk across the river? He says, take the name of the Lord, chant Lord Rama's name, and you can cross the Bhavasagara itself. What is a mere river? And the next day the maid comes in time, and the priest says, so you got your boat today? She says, no, the boat was not there, but just as you said, I walked across the river and came. Really amazing. Thank you for teaching me this. Now Swami says that the priest himself is surprised, because do you really mean that you crossed the river? I mean, how? Show it to me now, he says. And the milkmaid actually goes and does that. She walks across the river again and says, priest, come. I'm sure you will be able to do it. The priest then refuses to do that because he is not sure that he will be able to walk on the river. Swami says, this is how man's faith is today. You know, we speak, we preach about faith, we ourselves lack it.
Just add a little bit of, you know, the Swami's narration to that. What Swami would tell is, the priest goes there, the priest wants to try himself. So Swami would tell, the priest rolls up his dhoti right up to his knee and then steps into the water.
Correct, that's sure.
And then Swami would say, see, that's the amount of faith that he has. Even before he steps into it, he's sure that he's going to actually put his feet into the water. So he rolls up his dhoti so high and then he falls into the water, Swami would say. That's what I said. See, some of these things, it's a different thing to look at that episode or listen to that episode and laugh at it. But if we really look at ourselves, we do this so often in our life.
Hmm.
You know, so often we say that we believe in Swami, we trust in Swami, we have faith that Swami will take care. But every time we are scared of something, it is a sign that we don't have trust that Swami will take care. Every time something wrong happens and we feel that, oh, why is this happening in this manner? It means we don't have faith that what Swami does is better, or what Swami's wisdom is higher than my wisdom. And we do that every day, multiple times in a day. That's why these kind of stories are so important to remind us that.
In other words, as Swami would say, unless you have the feeling of surrender, that is, whatever happens to me, it's for my best. And how does that express itself? It expresses itself by we being jubilant and celebrating whatever that happens to us in our life, because whatever is happening is the best, and when the best happens, we only celebrate. So if our life is not one continuous celebration, it means that I don't consider that whatever is happening is for my best, which means that I don't have faith that my Lord, who loves me and is most powerful, is in charge, which means I don't have faith. Therefore, if you boil it down to brass tacks, it comes to we lacking faith if we are not jubilant and celebrating every moment of our life. So no use of laughing at the priest or laughing at anybody else if we are not jubilant and exuberant and celebrating every moment of our life. It brings to fore the other problem, which is I think relevant for both of us also, especially because it is easy to speak philosophy, but to actually practice it is so very difficult. And that is one of the messages that shine forth in this next Chinnakatha that we are going to present.
Right, and this Chinnakatha also happens to be from the same discourse. So we'll listen to it. Very, very sweet story nevertheless.
Munda chettunu evaru penchuduro vari kudanu tana munnuto kucchi badinchadaniki himsinchadaniki aa chettu poonukuntundi.
Whoever promotes the growth of a thorny bush, the bush will try to use the very thorns to prick and hurt the person who has grown that thorny bush.
Kanuka mamakaram kudanu oka mundla vruchyam vantidi.
The attachment is also like a thorny bush.
Deeniki oka chinna udaharanam.
There is one small example for this.
Oka gramamlo oke bazar nandu oka intilo oka vyakti maraninchadam cheta తన యొక్క తండ్రి ఆ కుమారుని నిమిత్తమై దుఃఖిస్తుంటాడు.
ఇన్ వన్ విలేజ్, ఇన్ వన్ స్ట్రీట్, ఇన్ వన్ హోమ్, బికాస్ వన్ పర్సన్ ఇస్ డెడ్, ది ఫాదర్ ఆఫ్ ది పర్సన్ హూ డైడ్ ఈజ్ ఇన్ గ్రీఫ్.
కానీ ప్రక్కింటి వ్యక్తి వచ్చి ఈ విలపించేటువంటి తండ్రికి అనేక విధములైనటువంటి యొక్క శాంతి వచనములు బోధిస్తూ ధైర్యమును బోధిస్తూ ఉంటాడు.
The neighbor, the householder in a neighboring house will come and will console in many ways this father who is grieving at the death of his son.
Dehamu panchabhautikamu dehamu kulaka tappadeppudu dehi niramayundu ganutimpaka dehi chaavu puttukalu moha nibandha bandhanala mudralu levu ani aneka vidhamaina vedantalu bodhisthuntadu.
In consoling this person who is in grief, the neighbor will tell him several aspects of Vedanta. He will tell him that the body is made up of material stuff. The body has to fall down someday or other. The permanent one is the divine one in the body, but the material body has to disappear. In this way, he will console this person in so many Vedantic truths.
Kani konni dinamulu jarigina tarvata ee bodhinchinatvanti vyakti intilo tana kumarudu maranistadu.
But after some time has passed, the individual who has been consoling all these days, in his home, his own son dies.
Modati vilapinchinatvanti yokka prakkinti yajamanudu aanadu tirigi ee prakkinti yajamanudu daggariki poyi ide bodhane adariki jarugutu vastadu.
The father who was in grief in the beginning will now come to the neighbor's home and will console him exactly in the same terms, using the same Vedantic truths.
Modati vyakti kumarudu gatinchinappudu rendo vyakti ki ye matramu dukkham ledu. Rendo vyakti yokka kumarudu gatinchinappudu modati vyakti ki ye matramu dukkham ledu. Kaaranam emti? Aa gatinchinatvanti vaadu naa vaadu kaadu annatvanti yokka rendo vaadiki dukkham undadu. ఈ గతించినటువంటి వాడు నా వాడు నా కుమారుడు అన్నటువంటి అభిమానం పెట్టుకునే వాడికి దుఃఖము. ఏతావాత దుఃఖం ఎవరికి? నావారు నావారు అనుకున్నటువంటి వారికి దుఃఖము, నా వారు కాదన్నటువంటి వారికి దుఃఖము లేదు.
When the son of the first individual died, the second individual had no grief whatsoever. When the son of the second individual died, the first individual had no grief whatsoever. On the other hand, at the death of his own son, he is grieving. Be that as it may, who is it that is in sorrow, and why does the sorrow come? He gets sorrow because he thinks that the dead person is his son. In the second case also, sorrow comes because he thinks that it is his son. And why does the sorrow disappear? Because he has no connection whatsoever, no attachment to the person who has died.
Kanuka dukkamu kevalamu mamakaram chetane yerpadutunnadi kani మరొక మార్గంలో మనకు ఏర్పడేటువంటిది కాదు.
ఇట్స్ పర్ఫెక్ట్లీ క్లియర్ హియర్ దట్ సారో కమ్స్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ అటాచ్మెంట్ అండ్ లైకింగ్. ఇట్ డస్ నాట్ కమ్ బై ఎనీ అదర్ ప్రాసెస్.
అండ్ సో దట్ స్టోరీ, యు నో, స్వామి మేక్స్ ఇట్ వెరీ క్లియర్ దట్ ది రూట్ కాజ్ ఆఫ్ సారో ఇస్ అటాచ్మెంట్. అండ్ ఆఫ్ కోర్స్ ది అదర్ మెసేజ్ దట్ కమ్స్ త్రూ ఇస్ ఆల్సో ద సేమ్ థింగ్ దట్ వీ స్పోక్ ఆఫ్టర్ ద ఫస్ట్ స్టోరీ, విచ్ ఇస్ ఇట్స్ ఈజీ టు స్పీక్ ఫిలాసఫీ బట్ ప్రాక్టీసింగ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ వెరీ డిఫికల్ట్. దిస్ అటాచ్మెంట్, యునో, ఐ ఆఫన్ యూస్ టు థింక్ అబౌట్ ఇట్ లైక్ దిస్ ప్రేమ. ఐ యూస్ టు థింక్ దట్ దేర్ ఆర్ టూ వేస్. వన్ ఇస్ వెన్ యూ సే అటాచ్మెంట్, డోంట్ గెట్ అటాచ్ టు ఎనీబడి, ఆర్ గెట్ అటాచ్ టు ఎవ్రీబడి. గెట్ అటాచ్ టు ఎవ్రీబడి ఈజ్ ఓన్లీ సంథింగ్ దట్ గాడ్ కెన్ డూ. Because not to get attached to anybody or to get attached to everybody, for both one need to realize one's oneness with God. Otherwise it's humanly impossible not to get attached to anybody or to get attached to everybody. What I mean by saying get attached to everybody is, if I am attached to everybody equally, it's as good as not being attached to anybody, you know, because there'll be enough reasons to celebrate or feel bad or feel sorrow. If I'm attached to a few individuals, then if anything happens to those few individuals, I'm affected negatively. But if I'm attached to none of them, then nothing happens to me. At the same time, if I'm attached to everybody, not just those few, everybody, then every day, like I have a few reasons to be sad, there are also a few reasons to be happy always. Always it is like that. And I used to think, you know, this was my thought, that whenever Swami comes for darshan, I used to feel that Swami is unaffected, because every day he comes out for darshan, there are 10,000 people seated there. Possibly 5,000 of them are having a bad day, but 5,000 of them are having a good day. Swami is attached to all. He loves everyone equally. And therefore, for him, it's like a net neutral, you know. There is no sorrow nor joy. So, of course, these are my own thoughts. It's not like I picked it from a discourse. I just feel that when we speak of attachment, it becomes very difficult to say don't get attached to anybody. But if I can see Swami in all, see God in all, like how the first story emphasized, if I'm able to do that, then it is possible that I attach myself to everybody's joys and sorrows. And in that sense, it can again lead to a kind of equanimity.
No. The story is really fascinating because of, you know, the number of things which Swami is explaining through this one story. One of it is, of course, you know, it's easy to speak philosophy when the pain is the other person's, or speak one thing and then, you know, when you yourself are not really convinced about it. Mm. Because if you were, when it happens to you, you should not be disturbed at all. Mm. It reminds me of another sweet incident, which I think we must have narrated many times before. When Swami was giving a discourse to a huge gathering, which was, I think, gathered outside in an open ground, and there was Shamiana and all that. And even as the program started, there were these huge, thick rain clouds which were gathering near the horizon and coming towards where the people were gathered, and Professor Kasturi was supposed to speak. And he got up and said, I know you're all very concerned that what will happen if there's a downpour and you're all sitting in the open. And he said, do you know who Swami is? Swami is the one who is the master of all the elements. And he narrated a few incidents where, you know, Swami had absolute control over the elements. He said, we don't have to worry. As long as Swami is seated here, there's not going to be any rain and all that. And then, of course, Swami gave his discourse. And at the end of it, Swami was telling, I think Swami was speaking about faith. And Swami said, see, our Kasturi, just now he told, he said, Swami can control the elements, it will not rain. But now he's sitting there. And all the time he's praying, Swami, please let there not be any rain. I've told all this. And if it rains, then what will people think of me? And Swami said he himself is not convinced of what he said. You know, that is one aspect of the story. The other aspect is that very, very profound truth, that sorrow actually comes not because of an event, but because you are attached when that event is happening, or that event is happening to somebody whom you're attached to. Hmm. And it's a graphic story, you know, in the way Swami narrated that story, Swami is not ridiculing one person or the other. Swami is saying it's so natural. And to when you observe this thing happening, it is a message for you that death does not cause happiness, sadness, or any event does not cause you any happiness or sadness. Only when you are involved in that event that causes you the sadness. And that means that both happiness and sadness comes from your involvement.
Pleasure and pain, yes.
And that is how you detach yourself. there's another beautiful story which I always like to narrate, and very similar to this, where there's a man who's constantly crying because he has lost his wife. So there's a sadhu who's going by that village, and somebody tells him that, you know, sir, please come and counsel this man. He's been crying for the past couple of weeks since his wife passed away. So the sadhu goes up to this man and says, why are you crying? He says, because my wife died. So he says, what is actually causing you the death? So he says, causing you the sorrow. And he says, the death of my wife. So the person asks that in this village, has there been no deaths of any wives at all?
Hmm.
So he says, no, a couple of months back, my neighbor's wife passed away. So he says, did you cry like this even for that? And he said, no. Then why are you crying like that now? And this man said, how silly can you be? Because this is my wife. So then the wise man says, it's not the death which is causing you the pain. It's not that a wife has died is causing you the pain. It's your wife and that's causing the pain, which means attachment is the root cause of your pain. That is one aspect of the story. And the other thing is, you know, today if I'm sorrowful and you come and give me advice, and tomorrow if you're sorrowful and I come and give you advice, the advice which is given is still useful. Right? You cannot tell that, yesterday you were crying like this, what you're coming and telling me now. Right? For an argument's sake, I can put it. But the words of wisdom, wherever it comes from, whoever it comes from, if it is applicable to us, it is applicable to us. If it can be used by us to alleviate our pain and suffering, it can be used. Right? That's why Swami is saying that one day this person comes and says, and that is also a sign that the person who is actually detached can always be in a position where he can give consolatory words to the other person.
And that's also a sign that we can continue doing what we are doing, though we might not be completely successful in practicing everything, because these are words of wisdom which Bhagwan has showered, and by even being mere loudspeakers, speaking it out, these words of wisdom can go and console hearts, soothe wounds, bring cheer into lives of people, and we are, as always, grateful to Swami for this wonderful opportunity. You know, when you were saying about how the death is not the cause of sorrow, but my attachment, taking the converse side about pleasure also, we think that money brings pleasure, you know, possibly owning a big house, having a big house brings us pleasure, or a wonderful luxury automobile brings us pleasure. It is not actually those objects that bring pleasure, but our attachment to that object. For example, if a big house is something that gives me pleasure, I should just walk through a posh locality, a plush neighborhood, and simply feel happy. You know, a couple of months back, I had been to the US, and there in Cleveland, Ohio, the region where I stayed, the homes all around were so grand and so magnificent. It was like a fairy tale. I mean, to an extent, I just felt happy walking through the street and looking at the houses. But the moment I remember that, you know, these houses are superb, but my own house back there is so small, those houses stop giving you any more pleasure. In fact, they seem to be adding salt to your wounds. Oh my God, their car garage is as big as my house.
What a life am I leading?
Yeah, their bathroom is half the size of my house. You start feeling like that. So it's actually not the house that is giving you the pleasure. It is that sense of ownership or possessiveness or your attachment that is giving you the pleasure. If you feel that I have this car, it gives you joy. The same car parked in the neighbor's compound makes me feel envious and makes me feel sad. So, pleasure and pain both are created by ourselves. It is based on our attachment to that. And that is why I think Swami advises us to attach ourselves to something higher. In fact, for me personally, in my life, when I was suffering from multiple attachment to multiple people, the solution that came to me from everybody else would be, get detached, give up attachment. And I found it very tough to follow that. The message from Swami that came to me was, don't give up attachment. Just change whom you get attached to. Get attached to me. And you know, that one little change in perspective made all the difference, and I feel it has brought so much stability in my life. I continue to be intensely attached, but the focus of that attachment is now Swami, because of which what used to be my biggest weakness, I feel, has become a great strength, a great support for me. That is the magic that Swami does, and that is what he says. It is not, It is attachment that causes pleasure and pain, and therefore don't get attached to things that are temporary or ephemeral. Because if they are temporary, then the pleasure that they are giving you will also be temporary. At the same time, if you attach yourself to something permanent, the joy that you get from that will also be permanent. And that is the thing, that is why we should attach ourselves to Bhagwan, and that will automatically help in reducing our attachments to everything else.
Actually, the point that you make is really profound, because if pain can be got from attachment, even happiness actually comes not necessarily from attachment, because we always associate attachment with a flaw in our thinking.
That's why I use the term pleasure.
Right, pleasure in, you could say, involvement, right? When you enjoy, if you look at some of these businessmen who have these amazing rags to riches story, or who started off small and become something big, they will very, very fondly remember making that first million, right? When they really worked hard and they probably had a startup, they had a few friends around and they really worked hard. They would actually remember very graphically that entire year or the couple of years which led to them making that first million. But after that, they forget about it. You know, many, many millions are made after that, but you don't find the same joy after that. Because what happens in business is, once you make a little bit of money, the money multiplies itself, right? You've actually set it rolling and it goes on. The reason why that first million actually gives you that happiness is, apart from the fact that, you know, it's that amazing journey, it is also the idea that I have worked hard and I've got it. It's that personal involvement which actually gives that pleasure. And that's why Swami would say that, you know, even when you're doing seva, it's very easy for you to take a, you know, 1% of your monthly salary and put it in some kind of a charity. And if you're a very rich person, that 1% could be a huge sum. But that will not give you as much joy if you can fold up your sleeves and go and do seva in one day. Because there your involvement is there, and that happiness is completely different, even though that might seem smaller monetarily.
Interestingly, just today I was watching an interview of ace Indian cricketer Rahul Dravid.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asked 25 quick questions and he had to answer them. One of the questions was, what is the newspaper headline you remember the most, which is most memorable for you?
Okay.
For those who don't know, Rahul Dravid is a great sporting, cricketing legend in India, and he has been the architect of many, many victories for India. And he says that the most memorable newspaper headline for him was when his knock saved his college team, St. Joseph's, if I remember right, mm-hmm. St. Joseph's, and took them to victory. He says, this is what I remember, because this was my first. This is the first time my name appeared in the newspapers correctly. He said that every time the newspaper people thought that his name was David, because mm-hmm. Dravid is an uncommon name. So everywhere it used to come Rahul David, Rahul David. He says, for the first time my name came correctly, and for the first time my name came as a splashed across big in the sports column, that Rahul Dravid takes. And he says, that is the headline that I remember the most. Rest, I don't know the headline. I mean, he knows that he has been in the papers, but he doesn't know what is the headline. So what you said actually makes a lot of sense. The first one is something really big, though it is actually something very small.
Right. And the other point that you also brought up is attaching yourself to something that is worthy of attachment. And this is not only about attachment, but giving value to anything. I mean, when you start giving value to things which are transient, then you are actually endangering your happiness. That's why Swami says, place it on something which is more permanent. And even that way, you know, when you're doing something, whose opinion are you going to take seriously in life? That also is going to decide what, I mean, how you're going to do it, and what you'll be doing, I mean, what you'll do which makes you happy. That depends on whose word you take seriously.
And for that, dear listeners, we have another lovely Chinnakatha. So, we'll play that for you and then the discussion will continue.
Who should not go the way, depending upon the size of the world. If we go on listening to everyone, we lose our head. ఒక తాత మనవడు ఒక గాడిని తీసుకుని ఏదో సామాన్ తెచ్చుకోవటం కోసం మనకు ఒక ఊరికి పోతున్నారు. వన్ గ్రాండ్ ఫాదర్ అండ్ గ్రాండ్ సన్ వర్ టేకింగ్ ఎ డాంకీ అలాంగ్ విత్ దెమ్ గోయింగ్ టు ఎ విలేజ్. తాత ముసలివాడు, గ్రాండ్ ఫాదర్ వాస్ ఓల్డ్ మ్యాన్, మనవడు కొంచెం యువకుడు. దిస్ గ్రాండ్ అంటే చిన్న పిల్లవాడు, అంటే యువకుడు కాదు. గ్రాండ్ సన్ వాస్ ఎన్ యంగ్స్టర్. అతనికి సహాయార్థమే ఆ చిన్న మనవడిని తీసుకుని పోతున్నాడు. ఎ సార్ట్ ఆఫ్ హెల్ప్ హీ వాస్ టేకింగ్ హిస్ గ్రాండ్. ఎవడో ఒక పరిచయమైనటువంటి వాడు ఎదురొచ్చాడు.
ఏమిటండి మీరిద్దరు ఇంత బుద్ధి తక్కువ పని చేసుకుని పోతున్నారు, ఇద్దరు కూడా నడచడం ఏంటి, పక్కన గాడిద ఉంటుంటే ఎవరైనా అందరూ కూర్చొని దాన్ని పోవచ్చును కదా అన్నాడు.
హౌ అన్థింకింగ్ యు ఆర్, ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ బోత్ ఆఫ్ యు వాకింగ్, వై షుడ్ నాట్ వన్ రైడ్ ఆన్ ద డాంకీ.
అప్పుడు ముసలివాడు కదా అని ఆయన చెప్పింది నిజమికొని తాను ఎక్కాడు గాడిద పైన.
ద ఓల్డ్ మ్యాన్ థాట్ దట్ వాట్ ఈ సెడ్ ఈస్ ట్రూ, హీ మౌంటెడ్ ది.
మరీ కొంచెం దూరమైనప్పుడు ఇంకొక పరిచయితుడు వచ్చాడు.
After a little distance was covered.
మీరు ఇంత పెద్దవారైపు కూడా చిన్న పిల్లవాడిని నడిపిస్తూ మీరు కూర్చొని పోతున్నారా, అతన్ని ఎందుకు ఎక్కించకూడదు అని అన్నారు.
He said, well, you are a grown up person, how can you make the small change?
అప్పటికప్పుడు నిజంగానే అది సత్యంగానే తోచరించింది.
He thought that that was true.
తాను అడిగాడు, పిల్లవాడిని ఎక్కించాడు.
He asked the child to mount the donkey.
మరి కొంచెం దూరం పోయినారు.
They covered a little
more. ఒకరు నడచడం ఏంటి, ఒకరు కూర్చోవటం ఏంటి, అది గాడిద కనుక ఇద్దరు కూర్చుంటే మోస్తుంది కదా అన్నారు.
Well, after all, it is a donkey. The third one came and told, why should both not ride?
ఇది నిజమే కదా అని ఇద్దరు ఎక్కారు.
Both of them.
దాని నడుము వంగింది. బరువు ఎక్కువైపోయింది.
Under the weight of both of these people.
మరి ఎవరో ఒకరు ఎదురొచ్చారు.
Another person.
ఏమిటండి అది, నోరు లేని జీవి ఇంత భారం వేసుకుంటే అది ఏమైపోవాలో చచ్చిపోతుంది కదా, ఇది బుద్ధి తక్కువ అన్నాడు. ఇద్దరు దిగారు.
The fourth person said, what type of unintelligent people you are.
అది నడచడానికి శక్తి లేకపోయింది.
It is such a dumb dog.
మరి ఇంకొకడు వచ్చాడు.
The fifth one came.
వాడు చెప్పాడు, ఈ గాడిదను నేను ఎట్ట తీసుకుపోయేది, ముసలివాడు చెప్పేటప్పటికి అబ్బాయి నేను కర్ర ఇస్తాను, ఆ రెండు కాళ్ళు కట్టేసి దానికి మధ్యలో ఈ కర్రను పెట్టి ఇద్దరు మోసుకొని పోండి అన్నాడు.
That donkey was so tired after carrying grandson and grandfather for a distance. The fifth one said, why don't you carry the donkey?
ఇద్దరు చేరి ఆ గాడిదని మోసుకొని పోతున్నారు పాపం చాలా కష్టంగా.
This old man and the grandson were carrying the donkey with the help of a stick.
ఒక పల్లె దగ్గరికి పోయేటప్పటికే పల్లె పిల్లలంతా దీన్ని చూసి పక్కు నవ్వారు, అంతా గలాట చేశారు.
When they reached a village, the children there saw this scene and they laughed loud.
ఈ గలాట గాడిద బెదురుకుంది.
And this donkey got frightened by the
అది అటు ఇటు తిప్పేసేసి ఆ వంతెన పైన పోతుంటే బాగా అల్లాడిచ్చేటప్పటికే తాత మనముడు ఇద్దరు కూడా నదిలో పడిపోయారు.
When they were crossing a bridge, this happened. And when the donkey tried to release itself,
ee vidhanga mana paristhiti evaretta chepte attanta manam potunte ee yokka nadi paalaipotam manamu mana yokka conscience mana hrudayanni manam ansarinchali nee master yokka aagnanu nee ansarinchali nee hruday samparkamanu nee anubhavinchali.
Just as those two people fell into the river and got into trouble,
chepina vaalla maatalanta vinadaniki nee anta amayikudiga undakoodadu.
Don't be so ignorant or innocent as to believe everyone that tells that give some suggestion.
Okka maata paina, okka baata paina,
should follow one word and one thought.
Ini manam anusarinchali.
That is what you should do.
So that was the discourse that Swami delivered in the year 1987, 24th of November. And you know, this is a story I think a lot of us have heard or read during our childhood, but never this angle of be guided by your conscience would have ever been given as a moral to that. You know, they always tell that
don't listen to others.
But you know, whom do you listen to? But you know, of course, if we were to dwell into the rest of the discourse, I'm sure Swami emphasizes on that point more. We've actually cut the clips in such a way that only the story is brought out. But that is what Swami is hinting at. So finally, at some point, you have to turn within. And so this might be a very small situation, but from a situation as trivial as this to something more profound or more important in our life, it is always better to turn within. And Swami would say this, it's not wrong to take advice from others, but that advice should be in sync with what comes from the conscience. If it doesn't, then that needs to be discarded, not the voice of the conscience.
Interestingly, you know, Prem, this is what it is. Many times when we take advice, whether we are conscious of it or not, like they say, you know, when you toss a coin to see what choice you should do, whether A or B, and if it's heads, I'll do A, if it's tails, I'll do B. When you toss it, you get your answer because when it's midway in the air, you know what is it that your heart is desiring. Along similar lines, when you ask different people for advice, whether we accept it or not, at an unconscious level, the advice that we tend to like and follow is one that is actually in sync with what our conscience is telling. You know, because the conscience is the voice of God within, and Swami says that it is absolute. Everybody has a conscience. It is just whether you are able to hear it and follow it or not. And Swami says that every time you follow your conscience, the volume or the loudness of the voice of the conscience keeps growing. And every time you don't listen to the voice of the conscience, its volume will keep diminishing. It will never die out. It will always be there, but it keeps getting feeble and feeble, because it's like every time you disobey it, you're putting a blanket over it. So possibly that is why it is said that if you're not able to listen to the voice of God within, it's in the depths of silence you'll hear. You have to silence all other things, not just audio, but even the mental thoughts, and listen to the voice of God, get guided by it, and have the courage to follow it. And every time we follow it, one blanket from the speaker is removed, and therefore the voice of conscience will keep getting louder. So the conscience, since it is the voice of God within, it keeps telling possibly just one thing, the right thing that has to be done. On the other hand, we also have the mind with us. You know, the mind keeps giving us multiple solutions for anything. It keeps telling different ways. Because one of the things that we often feel is, like you said, when you listen to this story, you are told that don't listen to what everybody all and sundry have got to tell. The question that arises then, whom do I listen to? In the same way, when I'm trying to make a decision, I hear so many voices within me. Which voice should I listen to? There'll be one voice that will give multiple objectives and multiple options and solutions. The other one will keep telling the same thing. And even when we ask advice from others, the same scenario which is internal, we get to see it externally. We get multiple options. But the one advice that is in sync with what the conscience is telling, that is what we will tend to like. And even later on, you know, this has been my personal experience, that you might do what the mind suggested, which apparently is logical. And after you do that, you tell 10 others what you did. They will actually tell you, good man, you did the right thing. That was the correct thing to do. Naturally, what else can you do? But if you have not followed the conscience, though everybody is patting you on your back and saying, you did it right, man, don't worry, there's an kind of gnawing feeling within, and you just feel that, no man, I didn't do it right. And the reverse also holds true, you know. You follow your conscience and you do it. There may be people who come and say, hey, what made you do such a thing? That was so rash of you, or that was so absurd of you, that was so illogical of you. The whole world may come and tell anything, and you may not have an answer to give them. But you know, somewhere deep within you feel, I did the right thing. It is fine. It is okay. There is a kind of peace and comfort that comes. And that is invaluable, that peace and comfort, that peace of mind and that comfort is invaluable. And that is the reason why, you know, for our own good and for our own happiness, it is good that we follow the conscience and not the mind. And that is what this Chinnakatha brings out.
And that's the beautiful story that Swami narrated. On, you know, it's such a heavy topic in that sense, but told in such a beautiful way. That the other thing of, you know, you can never please everybody. Whatever you do, the best of actions will end up displeasing some people. And the best example for that is Swami himself. Nobody's action can be as selfless. Nobody's action can be as pure, as right, as absolute. But it's not that everybody was happy with what Swami was doing, because that is the nature of the world itself. Every, you know, Swami would say, what is that Sanskrit phrase that Swami would
munde,
use?
Munde, 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 matir binna.
He says, for every head, there will be an opinion. And that's the case with our life. So there's no point in living life like that. And the reason why we actually ask for advice is that, you know, sometimes when you say that the voice from within actually becomes more feeble over many, many lifetimes of ignoring it. And that's why we are not able to, that's why many, many people come and ask this, how do you listen to the voice inside? Even though it is always there, we are not able to listen to it. And what we actually do when we have good company, or when you go and ask a person whom we know that he will give us an advice, or she will give us an advice which is in line with what Swami would say, the idea is it's like a transponder, right? I think it's a transponder or a repeater, we call when we, in the communication systems. It enhances the signal and it kind of makes it louder and gives it to you. The signal does not come from the repeater itself. It only makes it louder. So good company is like that. It's kind of, you voice your opinion of them and it becomes louder. The voice of the conscience becomes louder. So Swami is saying, it's not that don't listen to anybody. Always listen to the conscience. And if there's somebody who is resonating or reflecting the voice of the conscience, you can listen to that person, because that is actually good company.
So, dear listeners, I think we'll take a quick break now. And after the break, the two aspects that got highlighted, we'll have one Chinnakatha for both the aspects. One aspect being, you need not oblige everybody. The other aspect being that satsang or good company is very important. We'll take that up after this little break.
Thank you. सुख और दुख का नाता है, माँ के दुआओं में ये जीता है। ओ दुख का नाता है, माँ के दुआओं में ये जीता है। बिन बोले सब कुछ माँ कहती है, बिन माँ के ये जीवन सुना लगता है। सागर से सुंदर है माँ, चंदा से शीतल है माँ। सागर से सुंदर है माँ, चंदा से शीतल है माँ। चोटों की सिसकी है माँ, फूलों की खुशबू है माँ, ओ मेरी माँ, मेरी माँ, ओ मेरी माँ, मेरी माँ, ओ मेरी माँ, साई माँ, ओ मेरी माँ, साई माँ, ओ मेरी माँ, ओ साईं माँ, साईं माँ, साईं Sai, Sai, O Sai Ma.
Welcome back, dear listeners. What a soulful break in middle of a humorous and insightful session. Grateful to Swami for the same. As we said before the break, you know, it was of no use listening to what everybody says and doing what everybody says. However, Swami says it is important that though we don't oblige everyone, it is important that at least we speak obligingly. In fact, Swami says, if you can't oblige, speak at least obligingly. That is something that we can easily do. And that fact gets highlighted with this story of an astrologer that Swami narrates beautifully.
Astrologer vachi edundi cheppinadante daniki ento namakanni pottukuntam.
If astrologer tells you something, you will believe it.
Deento kodunu oka knack untundali.
There is some knack here.
Oka pedda officer vellaadu.
A big officer
went. Adhikari vellaadu.
He went there.
శ్రీమంతుడు వెళ్ళాడు.
A rich man went.
Astrologer దగ్గరికి.
They consulted astrologer.
అంత బాగా చెప్తున్నాడని అంత ప్రచారం జరిగింది.
Because there was wide publicity about his forecast.
ఆ యొక్క ప్రచారం చేత రాజు కూడాను astrologerని తన యొక్క ప్యాలెస్ పిలిపించాడు.
Because of wide publicity, even king wanted to consult astrologer.
ఈ astrologer వచ్చాడు మంచి రాజుగారు పిలిపించాలని అహంకారము.
Because he was highly egoistic since he was invited by
astrologer. Astrologer కంటే కారు నుంచి తల వరకు పెద్ద అహంకారమే.
All astrologers are full of ego from top to toe.
Into the వాళ్ళకి వేరే ప్రాపర్టీ ఏమీ ఉండదు.
They don't have any other property
other than ego. అంతా ఏ ప్రాపర్టీ వాళ్ళకి.
Ego is their permanent property.
అక్కడికి పోయేటప్పటికి
when he has gone there,
చూచాడు.
He saw.
జాతకం చూచాడు.
He has gone through all that.
ఈ గర్వం చేత ఏ విధంగా చెప్పాలి, ఏ విధంగా పలకాలి అనేటువంటి విజ్ఞానం శూన్యమైపోయింది.
He has no common sense. He could not tell what is to be told.
చూచాడు రాజా.
He saw the horoscope and said, O king,
నీ కుమారులందరూ త్వరగానే చచ్చిపోతారు అన్నాడు.
Your sons will die very soon.
రాజుకు కోపం వచ్చింది.
The king was angry.
వచ్చేసేసి ఇంత గర్వపోతా వీడు, నా కుమారులంతా త్వరలో చచ్చిపోతారంటున్నాడే అని అతను తీసుకుపోయి జైల్లో పెట్టమన్నాడు.
The king was felt like this. How is it this astrologer so egoistic? And so he imprisoned him.
కానీ అది నిజమే.
Yes, it is true.
ఆ నిజమైన కూడాను చెప్పవలసిన రీతిలో చెప్పాలి.
Even the truth
you cannot always verbalize, but you can speak always verbalizingly.
Even the truth should be said in an acceptable way. You cannot always oblige.
ఇంకొక అస్టాలజర్ ని పిలిపించాడు.
He summoned another astrologer.
నిజమా కాదా అని తెలుసుకోవడానికి.
He wanted to verify the truth.
ఆ అస్టాలజర్ చూస్తే వినయంగా వచ్చాడు.
That astrologer came in all humility.
చూచాడు.
He saw the horoscope.
జాతకం చూచాడు.
He saw the horoscope.
మహారాజా,
ఓకే,
మీకు దీర్ఘకాలం జీవిస్తారు అన్నాడు.
యూ విల్ లివ్ లాంగ్.
దానిని ఈ విధంగా మార్పు చెప్పి తెచ్చాడు.
హీ జస్ట్ చేంజ్డ్ దిస్ వే.
మీరు దీర్ఘకాలం జీవిస్తారు అన్నాడు.
యూ విల్ లివ్ లాంగ్.
అయితే మీరు జీవించినంత కాలం మీ పిల్లలు జీవించరు అన్నాడు.
హౌఎవర్ యువర్ చిల్డ్రన్ విల్ నాట్ లివ్ దట్ లాంగ్ యాజ్ యూ లివ్.
ఇది కొంతవరకు అతనికి తృప్తికరంగా ఉంటుంది.
ఇట్ ఈస్ లిటిల్ బిట్
చెప్పే మాటల లోపలే ఉంటుంది అది మాధుర్యం.
ద స్వీట్నెస్ ఇన్ అవర్ టాక్.
మొదటి వచ్చినటువంటి వాడు నీ పిల్లలందరూ చచ్చిపోతారు, నీవు చాలా కాలం ఉంటావు అన్నాడు.
ఫస్ట్
ఎంత కఠినంగా ఉంటాది చెప్పండి.
ఫస్ట్ అస్ట్రాలజర్ సెడ్ యువర్ సన్స్ విల్ డై సూన్, యూ విల్ లివ్ లాంగ్.
కనుక ఉన్న సత్యమైనా కూడాను ప్రీతికరంగా కూడాను హితకరంగా కూడాను బోధించాలి.
దో ఇట్స్ ట్రూత్ ఇట్ హెస్ టు బి కన్వేడ్ ఇన్ అక్సెప్టబుల్ స్వీట్ వే.
మనలో దోషం ఉంటుంటాది.
దేర్ ఇస్ మిస్టేక్.
ఇప్పుడు అక్కడ గుడ్డివాడు ఉంటాడు.
హియర్ ఇస్ ఎ బ్లైండ్ మ్యాన్.
అతన్ని మనము గుడ్డివాడు నిజమే.
He is blind man, it's true.
ఓ గుడ్డోడా రా అంటే వాడికి చాలా కష్టమేస్తుంది, కొంచెం బాధపడతాడు.
We can't say, oh, blind man, get up. He'll feel sad.
అట్టు కాకుండా
అదర్వైజ్
దగ్గరికి వెళ్ళి ఓ సూర్యదాసు రండి అంటే ఎంత ఆనందం ఇస్తుంది.
అండర్ దాన్ ఇఫ్ యూ గో క్లోజ్ త్రీ మెన్స్ ఓ సూర్యదాస్ ఫాలో మీ, హీల్ బి హ్యాపీ.
కనుక పలకవలసిన పలుకులు కూడా చాలా మధురంగా ఉంటుండాలి.
అవర్ వర్డ్
ప్రీతికరంగా ఉంటుండాలి.
అవర్ వర్డ్ షుడ్ బి సాఫ్ట్.
ఆ ప్రీతికరం రావాలంటే హృదయంలో ప్రేమ ప్రారంభం కావాలి.
దేర్ షుడ్ బి లవ్ ఇన్ అవర్ హార్ట్, సో హస్ టు స్పీక్ సాఫ్ట్లీ అండ్ స్వీట్.
కనుకనే ప్రేమను పెంచుకున్నటువంటి వాడే మానవుడు.
ఈజ్ ఓన్లీ ట్రూ హ్యూమన్ ఇఫ్ హీ డెవలప్స్ లవ్.
ప్రేమ లేనిటువంటి మానవుడు ప్రేతము.
And the man without love is a dead body, corpse.
So sweetly Swami said that, you know, you need love. That is the most important thing if we have to speak always obligingly. And Swami makes it very clear that when that love is there, even if we are unable to oblige somebody, the manner in which we speak obligingly, that will be enough to make people happy and it will bring joy to people's hearts because the foundation or the basis of that is love. The other thing that comes out so beautifully is the creativity that is involved there. Swami would often say that you should have tact when you speak. The tact is so important and that also develops by we being keen and observant. Swami used to narrate another chinna katha of an ascetic who is sitting in meditation. He suddenly sees a deer run across and go in one direction, and then comes a hunter who asks the ascetic, did you see where the deer went? Now the ascetic knows that if he points out the right direction to the hunter, he is going to kill the deer, and he would have been an unwilling participant in the violent deed. In order to escape that, if he tells him a lie and points out to the other direction, he will be guilty of speaking a lie. Swami says that what the ascetic says is so beautiful. The ascetic says, sir, the eyes that saw the deer are unable to speak and the mouth which can speak has not seen the deer. So he tells the truth and he tells it in such a tactful manner. The hunter just goes away on his own way, knowing that the ascetic is not ready to reveal the whereabouts of the deer. So this is another aspect that gets highlighted in this Chinna Katha, not only about speaking obligingly, but having the tact, like how the second astrologer, instead of saying that, you know, your children will die, he said that you have such a long life like this is something that nobody else in your family will be having, because that glorious life it is. The way you present it matters.
And the other subtle thing which Swami said there, Swami didn't say it so openly, but what he said in the beginning of that Chinnakatha, when he started it off, and what he said right in the end, actually has a very significant message in that. Swami started out by saying, a normal astrologer who is sitting on the road outside the temple, you give him 10 rupees, he will tell you something about your future, you will believe him completely.
Mm.
Swami said, you have so much belief and faith in him. Suppose he says you're going to die or your business is going to tank. I remember Swami telling that a student goes to an astrologer and the astrologer says, whatever you do, you will fail. So he comes back home and starts sleeping because the astrologer has told he's going to fail. What's the point in studying? So Swami would say that you have so much faith in an astrologer who probably is not so good at the skill that he is portraying also. But in Swami said, see, whatever you say, you have to speak with love. And Swami would say, I am telling whatever I say, I say it selflessly. And whatever I say, it comes from the supreme wisdom. And whatever I say it out of my love, but you don't take my word seriously. And that is the subtle thing which Swami was telling there. And I think if we probably go ahead in that discourse, that's what Swami must be telling. Because Swami said, you seem to have so much faith in that astrologer. And how true is that? And again, the other point, of course, is the ability to handle a situation. Swami would often say this, when we have observed Swami from close, one of the things which we have seen is how Swami would handle situations so very beautifully. And so many times we would see, students who are probably not cultured enough. Every year you have fresh batch of students. They don't know how to behave with Swami. And they don't know how to speak with Swami. The way Swami would deal with it without hurting the student, without letting anybody else get embarrassed, and handle that situation. Or sometimes there would be some VIPs who come and, who take some privileges. The way Swami would handle that situation. All of that comes with presence of mind, knack, and that feeling that let me not hurt anybody in the situation. Let me make this whole thing smooth. And I think one of the classic examples which we've heard so many times is when Swami went to inaugurate the water heater in the primary school, right? I think we've heard that so many times.
Hot water tap.
Huh? The hot water tap, and something was not fit properly. That when Swami went and opened the tap, I think the tap came loose and the whole water splashed on Swami, the hot water. And everybody was like aghast. They didn't know what to do. The engineers were scared. The teachers were very, very upset with the whole thing. And Swami gave a very sweet smile and said, see, I opened the tap and I also had the first bath.
What a nice inauguration.
Right, what a perfect inauguration it is. And Swami made everybody feel so light. That is the other aspect of the whole thing. When you're put in trouble, you don't have to really get worked up. If you have a good sense of humor, if you have a good presence of mind, you can get yourself out of that situation without harming yourself and without hurting anybody around.
And with that, dear listeners, as promised, we come to one of the most hilarious stories that Swami has narrated. Hilarious not only for the listeners, but for Swami himself, because he's unable to hold himself back. We hope that you will enjoy, and we are also going to sit here in rapt attention and listen and enjoy, because having listened to it 2-3 times, even now when we listen to it, it brings out so much laughter. So this is the final story for today, and let's listen to it right away.
ఏమిటి దీనికి ఒక చిన్న ఉదాహరణ కూడా ఉంటుంది పిల్లలు వేరే అనుకోకండి చిన్న చిన్న కథల తోపల్ని పెద్ద అంతరార్థాన్ని మీరు గుర్తించుకోవడానికి వీలవుతుంది
In this, through these small stories, you'll be able to know the inner
significance. Govinda Damodara, Narayana Govinda Damodara. Narduru, neem panledu paatledu.
Narada has no other job to do other than to sing the glory of God.
Ye pani ledu itaniki.
No work whatsoever.
ఈ త్రికాలం ఎందుకు కూడా నారాయణ చింతన చేసుకుంటూ వెళ్ళిపోయి
సింగ్స్ ద గ్లోరీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ ఇన్ ఆల్ త్రీ పీరియడ్స్ ఆఫ్ టైం
వెళ్ళాడు వైకుంఠానికి వెళ్ళాడు
రీచ్డ్ వైకుంఠ
నారాయణ నమస్కారం అన్నాడు
హి డిడ్ నమస్కార్ టు నారాయణ
మంచిది నారదా కూర్చో అన్నాడు
హి సెడ్ ఫైన్ నారదా బి సీటెడ్
ఏం నారదా
నారదా
నా సృష్టిలో ఏదైనా చెడ్డది ఏదైనా ఉంటుందా నీవు త్రిలోక సంచారివు కదా నీవు చూస్తున్నావు చెడ్డది ఏదైనా ఉందా నువ్వు చెప్పు అన్నాడు
ఓ నారదా యు మూవ్ అబౌట్ ఇన్ త్రీ వరల్డ్స్ ఇస్ దేర్ ఎనీథింగ్ బ్యాడ్ ఇన్ మై క్రియేషన్ ఇస్ దేర్ ఎనీథింగ్ బ్యాడ్
క్షమించండి కావలసినట్టు ఉంటుందా చెడ్
ఈ సెడ్ పార్డన్ మీ దేర్ ఇస్ అ లాట్ ఆఫ్ బ్యాడ్ ఇన్ యువర్ క్రియేషన్
చా ఏమిటి ఇంత చెప్తున్నావు నారుడై కూడాను బ్రహ్మ మానస పుత్రుడై కూడాను ఇంత జ్ఞానంలో విచక్షణ జ్ఞానం లేకుండా మాట్లాడుతున్నావు నా సృష్టిలో చెడ్డది లేనే లేదు అన్నాడు
Narayana said, there's nothing bad in my creation. Everything is good in my creation.
Swami.
Said Swami.
Prati manavudu tellavare bayatiki pothuntadu.
Every morning.
Malamutral visarjistadu.
Everyone excretes urine and feces.
Adi enta cheddadi.
What bad matter it is.
Vishnu chala shock vachinattu aascharyanga chustunna.
Vishnu was shocked listening to this.
Emiti?
What?
నారద అది చెడ్డదనుకుంటున్నావా నీవు?
నారద డు యు థింక్
చాలా పొరపాటు.
యు ఆర్ మిస్టేకెన్.
నీవు మతి భ్రమలో ఉంటున్నావు.
యు ఆర్ మ్యాడ్ నౌ.
అది చెడ్డది కాదు.
ఇట్స్ నాట్ బ్యాడ్.
చాలా మంచిది అన్న.
ఇట్స్ వెరీ గుడ్ హి సెడ్.
ఏమిటి నారాయణుడే ఇట్లా చెప్తే ఇంక నేనేం చెప్పాలి? అది మంచిదని ఎట్ట చెప్పే స్వామి అన్నాడు.
నారద సరి నారాయణ సేస్ వాట్ ఆర్ మై టు సే ఎనీథింగ్ ఎల్స్.
నన్ను అడగవద్దు.
డోంట్ ఆస్క్ మీ.
దాన్నే పోయి నువ్వు అడుగు.
హీ సెడ్ యు గో అండ్ ఆస్క్ ద ఫీకల్ మ్యాటర్ డైరెక్ట్లీ.
ఇంకేం చేసేది నారాయణ ఆజ్ఞ శిరసా వహించు వెళ్ళాడు అక్కడికి.
ఇన్ అబ్సల్యూట్ ఒబీడియన్స్ నారాయణ కమాండ్.
మలం ఇంకా 10 అడుగులు దూరంలోనే ఉంటుండాలి.
స్టిల్ దట్ ఈస్ ఎట్ ఎ డిస్టెన్స్ 10 feet.
వీడు పోతూ ఉన్నాడు దగ్గరికి అడగడానికి.
హీ వాస్ జస్ట్ గోయింగ్ ఓవర్ దట్ ఆస్క్.
ఆ మలం చెప్పింది నారద దూరం 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 అనింది.
దట్ డర్టీ మ్యాటర్ సెడ్ నారద కీప్ ఆఫ్ కీప్ ఎ డిస్టెన్స్.
ఏమిటి నేను దూరంగా ఉండవలసినది పోగొట్టి నన్ను నీవు దూరంగా ఉండవంటున్నావా?
వాట్ ఐ షుడ్ కీప్ myself at a distance from you. What is it you want me to go away?
Enduku nannu dooram untunnaa Naradulu?
Why do you say so? Asked Narada.
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 Ninnati dinam ratri.
Last night.
Pavitramaina perugga undinaanu.
I was.
Pavitramaina paaluga untunnaanu. Parishuddhamaina annanga untunnaanu. Enni vidhamainatuvanti madhuramainatuvanti padarthalu gaano nenu untunnaanu. Bhagavantuniki naivedyam cheseetuvanti oka arhata kuda nuvu kaligi undeetuvanti daanni.
Last night I was in the form of that sacred curd and the milk and sweets and a sacred offering to God. Till last night I was like that.
Kani okkaturi ee manishtu naaku samyogam jarigindha naaku ee gati pattipoyindi.
Because of my association with your body this is my situation.
Inka rendo turi patti inka naake ee gati avutundi.
And
kanuka meer dooram pondi.
If I am to associate myself with you for the second time, what is kept in store for me? Please get away. Get
kanuka. ఇదంతా కూడా మనిషితో జరిగినటువంటి ఒక రియాక్షన్ రీసౌండ్ రిఫ్లెక్షన్ లే కానీ దైవంతో కలిగినటువంటి కాదు అన్నాడు.
దిస్ ఈస్ ఆల్ ద రిజల్ట్ ఆఫ్ రియాక్షన్ రిఫ్లెక్షన్ ది సౌండ్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ద అసోసియేషన్ విత్ మ్యాన్.
ఈ అసోసియేషన్ ఉంటుంది. టెల్ మీ యువర్ కంపెనీ ఐ షల్ టెల్ యూ వాట్ యు ఆర్. ఎలాంటి దాంతో మనం సంబంధమో అలాంటి రూపంగా మనం తయారు.
ఎవ్రీథింగ్ డిపెండ్స్ ఆన్ దిస్ అసోసియేషన్. టెల్ మీ యువర్ కంపెనీ.
ఒక ఆవుకాయో గోంగూరో ఇంకేమైనా పిక్కిల్స్ ఒక జగ్గులో వేస్తే సంవత్సరం అంతా చెడిపోకుండా ఉంటుంటాడు.
ఇఫ్ యూ పుట్ పికిల్స్ మ్యాంగో పికిల్స్ సంథింగ్ లైక్ దట్ ఇన్ ఎ జార్ ఇట్ విల్ స్టే దేర్ ఫర్ ఎన్ ఇయర్.
అదే ఆవుకాయ పొద్దున్నే వేస్తే ఈ జగ్గులో సాయంకాలానికి.
బట్ ది సేమ్ పికిల్ వెన్ ఇట్ ఈస్ జస్ట్ పార్టేకన్ ఇన్ ద మార్నింగ్ బై ఈవినింగ్ ఇట్ విల్ బి హారిబుల్.
అంతేకాదు ఫ్లవర్ మిల్ మీరు చూచింటారు.
యూ ఆల్సో మస్ట్ హావ్ సీన్
ఫ్లవర్ మిల్.
ద ఫ్లవర్ మిల్.
ఈ ఫ్లవర్ మిల్ ఉంటుంటుంది పైన వీట్ వేస్తే గోధుమలు వేస్తే కింద గోధుమ పిండి వచ్చేస్తుంది.
దేర్ ఇన్ ద ఫ్లోర్ మిల్ ఇఫ్ యూ పుట్ వీట్ దేర్ యూ గెట్ ద వీట్ ఫ్లోర్.
పైన బియ్యం వేస్తే కింద బియ్యం పిండి వచ్చేస్తుంది.
అండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ పుట్ రైస్ ఓవర్ దేర్ యూ గెట్ రైస్ ఫ్లోర్.
పైన బేడలు వేస్తే బేడల పిండి వచ్చేస్తుంది.
అండ్ యూ పుట్ దేర్ దాల్ అండ్ యూ గెట్ ద ఫ్లోర్ దేర్.
ఈ శరీరం అనేటువంటి ఫ్లోర్ మిల్ లోపల మంచి మధురమైనటువంటి లడ్డు వేస్తే మలంగా మారిపోతుంది.
బట్ ఇన్ దిస్ ఫ్లోర్ మిల్ ఆఫ్ ది హ్యూమన్ బాడీ
విరక్తిగా మనం చూసుకోవాలి.
వీ షుడ్ థింక్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్.
ఫ్లవర్ మిల్ బెటర్.
ఫ్లవర్ మిల్ ఇస్ మచ్ బెటర్ దెన్ ది
జగ్గు బెటర్.
ద స్లిప్పర్స్ ఆర్ బెటర్.
కానీ దానికంటే హీనమైనటువంటి ఈ దేహం.
బట్ ద హ్యూమన్ బాడీ ఇస్ మచ్ వర్స్ దెన్.
కానీ దీనికి ఎందుకు మనం ఇంత గౌరవం ఇస్తున్నాము?
దెన్ వై షుడ్ వి రెస్పెక్ట్.
దాంతో ఆత్మ నకసిక పర్యంతము సంచరిస్తున్నాడు.
Because of the spirit Atma.
Deho devalai prukto jeevo deva sanatana. ఈ యొక్క దేహం అనేటువంటిది భగవంతుని దేవాలయంగా మనం భావించుకోవాలి.
బాడీ ఇస్ ద టెంపుల్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్, దట్ ఇస్ ద
దేహమే ప్రధానమని అనుకోకూడదు.
నాట్ దట్ బాడీ ఇస్ వెరీ,
దేవుడు లేని దేవాలయం మనకెందుకు?
వై డూ యూ నీడ్ ఎ టెంపుల్ వితౌట్ గాడ్?
కాబట్టి ఈ దేవాలయం లోపల దేవుడు ఉన్నాడు.
దేర్ఫోర్ ఇన్ దిస్
ఆ దేవుని నిమిత్తమే నేను అర్పితం చేస్తున్నాను.
సో ఐఎమ్ ఆఫరింగ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ టు గాడ్.
ఆ పవిత్రమైనటువంటి భావాన్ని మనం ఏనాడు అభివృద్ధి పరచుకుందామో ఆనాడే మన దేహము, మనసు, బుద్ధి, చిత్తము, ఇంద్రియము, అంతఃకరణ అన్ని కూడా సార్థకమైపోతాయి.
ద మూమెంట్ వీ అండర్స్టాండ్ ద ప్రిన్సిపల్ ఆఫ్ ద డివినిటీ బిహైండ్ ఆల్ ద మైండ్, ద బాడీ, ది ఇంటలెక్ట్, ది ఇన్నర్ సెన్సెస్ విల్ బి సాంక్టిఫైడ్.
ఈ దేహాభిమానం అంతా కూడా ఆత్మాభిమానంగా మార్చుకోవాలి.
దేర్ఫోర్ అటాచ్మెంట్ టు ద బాడీ షుడ్ బి డైరెక్టెడ్ టు,
అది మనం ఇప్పుడు చేయవలసినటువంటి సాధన.
That is the spiritual practice we should start today.
So that, dear listeners, was the humorous story. We have heard it multiple times in public and in private sessions, and every time it would have us in splits. But such a powerful message that is being given there. The human body is such a thing that any food item associated with it gets ruined the other day. And the next day, I mean. And that's why Swami says the company you keep is so important, because if any food stuff comes in contact with the human body, it gets reduced to fecal matter the next day. That is how bad company the human body is. Then Swami, you know, so beautifully highlights the fact that the human body is still revered and respected. Why? Though it is capable of reducing any foodstuff into such a lowly state, the human body is still respected and, you know, revered and adored because it is the temple of the divine. The association of the human body with the Atma is what gives it all its value. And Swami goes on to say that if you forget that, then you get reduced to nothing but a fecal matter generating machine. That's all. It is that association with the Atma, being the temple of the divine, that gives all the value to human life. And therefore, that is something that has to be always remembered. To remember that at every point of time in our life is the ultimate true satsang.
Really, but what a beautiful way of putting across such a very, very profound message. In fact, Swami would say the same thing give a very similar message, but slightly different in that sense. That Swami would say that, see, that everything that comes in contact with the human body, human life, actually deteriorates. And the best example for that is the earth itself. You know, a few million years of human civilization has brought it to a state which probably wouldn't have come for millions of years. Right, because of human activity, they say that, and Swami would say that, this is what happens if anything comes in contact with human life. We see it from the, as Swami said, the sweet laddu also becomes whatever it becomes in contact. Mm-hmm. So Swami would say it's alright, but you should ensure that all the resources that you use and you destroy should have some worth. And Swami would say that will happen if you realize the purpose of your life. If you ensure that you lead a purposeful life. And then it's all worth it. Because everything else compared to the ultimate purpose of life is actually nothing, right? Like what Swami told in the earlier story, everything else is transient. The only thing worthy is the ability to stick to that Atma. So if that purpose is served, then it's all right. But if it is not served, what a waste it is. You're wasting resources, you're wasting space, and you're destroying the earth in the process, but you're not attaining the purpose of life.
To be in company of the divinity within, that is true satsang. And any other satsang we do, whether as afternoon satsang or as a Bhagavata satsang or as an audio satsang, any other satsang we do, its objective should be to achieve this ultimate satsang of being in one with the divine self within. With gratitude to Swami for this wonderful opportunity, dear listeners, we will bring to close this session on the Chinnakathas. If you liked it, do let us know, because then we will possibly do a similar session the next week also on different Chinnakathas. And we are grateful to Swami for giving us such lovely Chinnakathas, the stories which are so beautiful and at the same time pregnant with meaning, full of insights, offering this whole segment with gratitude at his lotus feet. We will conclude with a song, on the other side of which, as always, you'll be greeted by Brother Chandu in his segment, Love to Love.
अंतर ज्योत जलाओ मन में अंतर ज्योत जलाओ अंतर ज्योत जलाओ मन में अंतर ज्योत जलाओ ज्योत से ज्योत जलाओ जग में प्रेम की ज्योत जलाओ मन में ज्योत से ज्योत जलाओ जग में प्रेम की ज्योत जलाओ मन में अंतर ज्योत जलाओ मन में प्रेम की ज्योत जलाओ सब है किरने तेरी तेजोमय सागर हो तुम हम उसके तो कतरे हैं साई तुम हो प्रेम का सूरज हम सब है किरने तेरी तेजोमय हम उसके तो कतरे हैं तुम ही हमको राह दिखाओ तुम ही हमको राह दिखाओ प्रेम की ज्योत जलाओ साई प्रेम की ज्योत जलाओ साई अंदर ज्योत जलाओ अंदर ज्योत जलाओ तुम आशा विश्वास हमारे तुम धरती आकाश हमारे तुम आशा हमारे तुम धरती आकाश हमारे युग युग का अवतार हो सारे तुझसे ही उजियारा है मन के अंधेरे को मिटाओ मन के अंधेरे को मिटाओ ज्ञान की ज्योत जलाओ साई ज्ञान की ज्योत जलाओ साई अंतर ज्योत जलाओ मन में अंतर ज्योत जलाओ अंतर ज्योत जलाओ मन में अंतर ज्योत जलाओ ज्योत से ज्योत जलाओ जग में प्रेम की ज्योत जलाओ जग में अंतर ज्योत जलाओ मन में अंतर ज्योत जलाओ जग में अंतर ज्योत जलाओ साई प्रेम की ज्योत